What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hey guys, real quick before we start the show, our guest this week, Lomography, gave us a little promotional code. Head over to lomography.com, go into their shop section, and use the code ANALOGTALK for 10% off. All right guys, enjoy the show. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Analog Talk, a film photography podcast. I'm your host, Tim.
And I'm Chris.
And today on the show, we have Frank and Birgit from Lomography. Hey guys.
Hey.
How you doing?
So we're super excited to chat with you things Lomography. But before we get into all that, we wanted to give our listeners kind of a background on you guys and how you got started and what brought you over to Lomography.
Awesome. Yeah. So I'm Birgit. I am originally from Austria, Salzburg. And I'm with Lomography now for, well, almost 2 years.
Nice.
So not that long. I started working for them in Vienna in the headquarters as a writer for the magazine, basically, and intern for marketing, PR. And then I was transferred over here to New York.
Wow.
Yeah, which was a big step for me, but very exciting. I'm very happy about this. I have a little bit of a photo background. I had it in school, in high school, actually. Well, I was always interested in photography and I did it as a hobby since, I don't know, maybe I guess I was like 12 when I started with a SLR that I got from my dad. And then just did it a little bit on the side and then majored in the high school. School system in Austria is a little bit different, but I could pick photography and graphic design as a major, basically.
Ooh,
I did
good
that.
Combo.
Yeah.
Cool.
and then did also a little bit of writing on the side. I studied English literature. And so it all like basically came together, mixed together into this position at Lomography, which is English and writing and photography and the perfect mix for me. And
Well, I'm Frank. I am originally from here, from the US. I was born in Indianapolis, Indiana. But I grew up in Venezuela, in South America.
I was going to say, where's that accent from?
But only that. Then I lived in Australia, in Sydney. So
my accent
is completely messed up. my background is completely different than Birgit. I'm an engineer, actually. But photography was always part of my life. My dad was a really big enthusiast. We have tons of albums of the, you know, indie 500 photos. So photography was always around. Yeah, my dad always had like big rigs, huge lenses. And yeah, I kind of grew up with it and she was kind of always part of it. In school, I shot when I was doing my engineering degree. I was, you know, always part of the photography club and, you know, being analog photography, this perfect balance between artistry and science. You know, like being in the lab and having all these controls of like time and temperatures. Like it was like a really good mix for me to get my two side of the brain kind of work. Then I went and I worked for the food industry for a long time. That's another passion of mine, food. And things happened, ended here in New York, ended in Lomography headquarters working, helping them in the retail areas. And then, went to wholesale and business development. And just recently, at the end of last year, I took over of the operations of Lomography USA. Yeah.
Wow.
So what is your, I want to ask you both, like, what is your daily task like for Lomography? What do you guys?
Oh, crazy.
To me, it sounds like working for like a dream job.
We wear many hats, I think. Do you agree, Birgit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I realized I didn't really mention what I was doing for Lomography. So I am I'm in marketing and PR for the USA and Canada. So what I do is basically all our collaborations with photographers, which is cool. Also my favorite part of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's so cool.
I bet.
Our marketing is not strictly like marketing textbook. Basically, I didn't need anything that I ever learned about marketing. It's really awesome because they give me the freedom of basically doing collaborations with awesome people that I think are cool and that yeah. I think suit our brand. And so the biggest part of my job really is doing basically projects with photographers or cinematographers and collaborating on projects, giving them gear, having them test our art lenses, cameras, films, and coordinating that. And then, you know, finding new interesting people we would like to work with and all that. So yeah, that's the biggest part and the coolest. And then yeah. There's, of course, social media. There's Kickstarter projects on my plate and press work and all that.
For me, well, as now taking over, oversee the operations, a lot of coordination. I'm really heavy on business development and logistics, just making sure everything is here, coordinated with the headquarters, everything that's coming down the pipeline, you know, stock issues. But it's really heavy on sales. I like to sell, so... I do a lot of that.
Man, so how many people are in the Lomography USA kind of circuit of this thing? Do you guys, is it a pretty big team or is it?
No.
They're both shaking their heads, guys.
No, we are really like lean. It's a really tight team. And that's why we wear many, many hats. And yeah. Basically, is we are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And 6, sometimes 7 if we have some interns that comes and helps out. But 5 people, that's what we do. The Birgit does all the, what you said, marketing, community work. We have one person, Adam, that works all the online ordering, logistics, and customer service. We have Shao does all the logistics and finance. And Mitch does, for me as well, all the wholesales. Accounts, key account management. So yeah, we do try to do a lot. But then, you know, if we need to shoot something, we all photographers, so we like shoot and help each other in the projects or do the Kickstarter campaign or figure things out. So that's what it's still pretty good. Yeah, that's what it's really nice to have this kind of horizontal teamwork, I guess.
Now, is your guys' office at the same location as the store or is it somewhere different?
It's different. Okay, so we closed our store on West 8th Street in October,
I was just there last time. I was in New York. Not this last time, but before that. I always make sure I like go visit. Like the one, like I want to go to B&H, want to go to Lomography, you know.
Visiting is still possible. So right now we have a kind of showroom office situation. It's
cool.
No store anymore. We only have the office, but we encourage people to stop by just as they did before, because what the store was really for was community coming together and people coming by saying hi, chatting about new stuff and all that. It was less about actually buying cameras in the store, right?
True.
So like everybody who would visit New York and is interested in photography would come by and chat with us, and we still want to maintain that that community oriented space for everyone. And we do have that, but it's just basically the only difference is we don't have all the shelves anymore with cameras on it.
Right,
exactly. Right. Like people are still welcome to just stop by to the headquarters and the office and, you know, chat for a bit, see what is going on. We have kind of like a showroom right now.
That's cool.
And we still are able to do shows. We did already a workshop in January just to test the waters to see if people still, and of course everybody showed up. We did right. We did an opening for the new film, The Berlin, and this place was packed. And it's a small, like, it's an office, but still, you know, like, you have that community. So it's like, you know, you make home where you are, I guess, not just the building.
I feel, feel like that's a better fit.
Yeah, it is. It's working out really good.
And and we're in Dumbo now. So we're now cool Brooklyn people.
Oh, yeah.
And also have like a very nice area where actually a lot of photographers are walking around taking photos anyways. A lot of times, a lot of creative shit's people. Happening. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a cool space and a cool area to be in for us, for sure.
Amazing.
Man. Yeah, I love that. I remember seeing a bunch of like YouTube videos of like Lumography store hangouts, like things that would happen at the stores. Yeah. Like, that's cool that you guys still have that going on. I thought I heard something about it closing down, which it sounds like it's a good thing. It's not a good thing, but it's you guys still have a good thing going on there, which is
Great. That's what it is.
At the end of the day, I know it sounds sad or sometimes scary to people to hear that the store is closing, but for us, it really is a good thing, to be completely honest. And it just made sense after 10 years on West 8th Street, and rent is always, you know, going up.
I can even imagine.
Yeah.
Sales are more online anyways. Yeah. And
the community is still there, so.
It makes sense.
Cool. Man, it's crazy to see how much that Lumography like adapts to the times, because just doing some like minor research, because I mean, I've been a Lumography fan for years. So kind of just touching up on things, knowing that we were getting you guys on the show, just seeing there's that it's like a 7-part docu little series thing for, I think it's like 2005 or six. It's on YouTube, and you see that, and then you like, you know, you see that you guys are still like coming out with lenses and there's still new film stocks coming out. I mean, it's just. Thank God.
And I think that's what it is. It's all like this adaptability that we have. Mm-hmm. And we haven't lost what, like, for example, when I discovered Lumography, it was like, it was so good. And then working with them was like, it makes so much sense. They haven't lost that. And I think that's why we're able to just take this big risk and adapt to the change, you know, be really quick.
Man, so good.
So do you guys mind giving our listeners a little brief history of Lumography and how it all came to be?
Yeah, it all started in the early 90s in Europe, or in Vienna, where we still have our headquarters. And it all started with a bunch of students who went on travels together. We're like traveling around and came across a so-called LCA camera. Frank, was it in, where did they actually find it?
I think it was in Leningrad, probably. They were like in Russia, and they found out this little camera. And at that time, you know, we were all about like SLRs and like, you know, kind of Nikon things. And seeing this little Punisher thing was like, oh my God, like now you can carry this everywhere.
Like, what is this? I can take it with me everywhere.
Yes. And and that's when they got into LOMO, you know, the Leningrad Optical and Mechanical Organization. That's when they're like, oh my God, we need to bring this back. And I think that it was really popular in Vienna among their friends. And they started little by little bringing them back to Vienna, right?
Yeah. And that was really how it started. They were just, they loved shooting that little thing. Well, they had no idea what it was really to start with. And they just took it with them, shot, and were really excited and surprised about how saturated the color were and how, you know, it has like little vignetting and like also a really good lens. So they were just surprised, never having heard of that camera. And then they brought it back for some of their friends, and then more people in their circles would ask for it. And then I think it started more of like a little bit of a joke, but also just like a fun thing that they basically funded the Lumographic Society and said everybody who wants to be a member can like has to own one of those cameras.
Yeah, that's a part of a membership. You get a camera and you're like a member of the Lumographic Society. Yeah.
And so they did that mostly within their friend circles, but then it grew, and at one point it grew into a thing that they started to take seriously, and that's how Lumography, coming from that LOMO lens, was born. And yeah, that's how it all started. And the whole idea was really to just have a camera that you take with you everywhere and everywhere you go, and you shoot day and night, and you shoot, you know, like from the hip. You can just play with it, as opposed to doing shoots and trying to set everything up perfectly. You just like play around
like
with
freedom, this freedom
and
of people who have
life. Yeah, which was something that I think back then was still you know, because of film photography is always a little bit hesitant with shooting without thinking or without looking through the viewfinder, which I understand, but it was just a new way of trying that out on film. And then, yeah, that's how it all started.
Crazy to think that was almost 30 years ago.
Yeah, it's insane.
And even crazier to think that that the two of these students are still like our board, our bosses in Vienna, and it's still like owned by them.
Yeah, and fully involved in everything, like really, is their baby. And, you know, I think that's what it was. You can feel that like personal love to what photography, analog photography is and what Lomography is because they are still there. You know, it's still, this is what it is. And,
with them, like having them on top of our like little hierarchy in the company, it still feels like a family business, you know, like it's really nice.
I love that.
Yeah.
I'm so glad to hear that it wasn't like, you know, bought out by some crazy mega thing that, you know, kind of just watered it down. And just hearing you guys talk about it and the past and how it came up, you know, getting back into photography for me when I was, you know, using the filters on my iPhone, like 4S or whatever it was, those like weird, crazy, like light leak looking filters and buying like toy camera apps. And then, you know, getting into that and then finding out that there's actual toy cameras out there and like you can get like crazy real pictures with film like that. You know, I think my first, you know, Lomography and Urban Outfitters is kind of how I got back into this whole thing. So it's funny to think about, but you know, it's just crazy to hear that story and just to come to where it is now, because, you know, I'm still like a 100% like Lomo backer, like Lomography 800 is like, I'm a black and white shooter. So when I go to color, there's just something about Lomo 800 that's like gritty and streety and black and it like a black and white color shooter. Wait, let me say it again. A black and white shooter's color film. Like that's what I always try to push on to people that mostly shoot black and white. And it's like, oh, well, I tried Portra and it's weird. And, you know, Ektar's weird. And it's like, dude, just shoot Lomo 800.
And you're done.
The blacks are black. You know, like it's just like the black and white shooter's film.
Yeah,
so,
I'm in the same boat. I'm the same black and white shooter. But if I'm going to do color, 800 Lomo is
100%.
Best, yeah, you can't go wrong.
That's just cool. I'm so glad to, like, you know, still seeing you guys, like, you know, coming out with new films, you know, the new lenses. And, you know, I forget, I think it was Matt did a little video, Matt Day, on the new lens you guys have going on.
Yeah.
Like,
shout out to Matt. Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank we love
you
Matt.
For that. Everybody loves Matt, which is everybody. Excited to have him tested and also very nervous when we saw the video. We're like, what if he hates it?
Oh, no, right. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that part. Man, so do you guys still have like stuff in, like, are you guys planning stuff for the future?
Are you allowed to tell us or
always planning?
Always, yeah. You should be already, like, you should know already that we always something on the works, something is coming in the bag, and you see it right now. Like, we just did the Lomogon on Kickstarter and. That's the one. It's the 10th project successfully done, so more things to come. And you guys saw how the Berlin film came out new and it's still there, so there's a lot of stuff. We cannot say a lot, but there's a few things that
very good
of course. Yeah, of course. I was like, we're not gonna get anything top secret yet.
Yeah, I think we can say a little bit. I mean, first of all, the Lomogon, of course, that's already out there, basically. Like, it's communicated, but it's still being produced now. The Kickstarter video right now, while we are taping this, it's the last day on Kickstarter.
Thank you to all our supporters.
Successfully funded tomorrow. Yay. We already know that. Yay.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, it was exciting. We like reached our goal, I think, in under 7 hours or something crazy like that. And are now like over 400% or something of the goal, which is
over
awesome.
1,000 backers. So thank you, those 1,000 something people that still believe in Lomography.
Yeah, it's I mean, Kickstarter is always a great way for us not only to see how many people are excited about new gear, but also it enables us to communicate with the community basically throughout the whole process, throughout when we are still in the product development phase, and have like a back and forth with people, what they want and what they are concerned about and stuff like that. So yeah, this is going to be the next addition to our Artlens line. It's also, we're also working on new things in that area. That's what we can already say.
Yeah.
So, even though the Lomogon is not even like really launched yet, we only started producing it. We already have new ideas for more
lenses,
more in the Artlens world. Yeah. And then the other focus for this coming year will be, and this is what I'm personally mostly excited about.
Yeah.
It's just, more focus on film. And
yes.
So you guys, we're all so happy that we're going to keep doing this.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like our listeners will come after me if I don't mention that how much I love Lomography F2.
Oh, no. Yeah.
I love it so much. My fridge is full of both formats because I just went crazy.
That's good.
Yeah.
Wait, you still have 35?
I have 35. I'm like saving it.
It's that bargaining now.
Yeah, I know. If I didn't love it so much, maybe I would, but.
I think I have 120 still.
I might have to buy one from you, I think.
Okay, we'll work it out. We can work it out.
When I started at Lomography, one of my coworkers gave me one roll of the 35mm F2 film and was like, you will keep this until the day of your wedding and then you will shoot this. And since then, I would never dare to shoot it. I'm this is actually
I know,
a treasure that I'm holding and keeping.
Because there's no more, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a special one. But, you know, Berlin is there. Potsdam,
right.
The Potsdam film is coming too. And they're coming to stay.
Which ones? The Berlin and the what?
And the Potsdam.
Berlin and Potsdam. So they're both part of our new Kino line. It's the Potsdam is 100 ISO, Berlin is 400. Mm. Both. Kino line, meaning that they're cut from a jumbo roll of a cinematic film.
Yeah,
cinematic film that we found, and those are here to stay. So we're currently doing the pre-orders for the Potsdam, which will come out in April, and these are two films that are not limited like the F2, but they're gonna be available for as long as we can plan ahead.
Yes. And the other news as well, reminding people, Lomocon Purple is coming.
Oh,
I know we're all waiting
for
it. Everybody's going crazy. me too. Just believe it. I'm a big shooter of that film, but it's coming. Hopefully we have it here in the US by May. And we're really working hard to maintain the stock as the demand really skyrocketed. So we're trying to work really, really hard to overcome that and meet the demand. But yes, the Lomocon Purple is back. I know a lot of your listeners have made already pre-order their share. So it's coming and we're really waiting for it to have it back here in the US.
Yeah, it's crazy. That's one film that every time it's around, by the time I finally hear that it's back, it's gone. It's like always gone by the time I'm like, I'm going to get some. Oh, it's gone. Okay.
Yeah.
I need to be ready this time. I need to be ready for it.
Yeah, you got to follow us on the socials, so you'll be one of the first to hear it. And then actually, like for the Lomocon Purple, really, you have to be quick with pre-orders too.
Yeah.
They come in batches, so the production of that film is rather expensive, so we have to do like one batch after the other. We can't keep producing that. So whenever we get a batch, we say, okay, here are the pre-orders for this batch. They'll be available in like 2 months, those batches are limited, so it's always
that's
first.
Good to know. Thanks for filling us in on that, because I didn't know that.
It's like microbrew.
That's a great metaphor. I have it right now in my little simple use.
Oh my god, that's treasure.
Yeah, nice. So shooting that right now.
Yeah, enjoyed. Those ones are coming back too. The simple use.
Oh, great.
Those are the best. Those are the best.
These are great.
You can reload
these are really
them.
Great.
I love that. Such a great concept.
Yeah.
I love the lens on it. It gives it like a, it's a, like a little look. I don't know how to describe, but I love the lens on this.
Yes,
it gives it a cool
it's
look.
It's a really good one. Yeah, it's mm-hmm. really quite fast too for what it is. We designed it. Yeah. So, and as well, I think we can just say that we will keep, you know, working and developing new ideas for film options and get more emotions out. And that's what we are super excited that we're really focusing on keeping more films into our lineup instead of mm-hmm. just start dropping stuff out, just like really putting the efforts. And that's why we really want to tell everybody that that's where we're going. That's what, you know, the future is analog. So we're really, really working on it.
That's so good to hear. I was wondering, these companies around the time that digital was taking over kind of had to figure something else out. You guys always were just like, we're analog, we're here to stay. Did you guys, was it worrisome back in the early 2000s for you guys?
Well, I think for like every company that was like on the analog photography, they saw that shrinkage, you know, of use. And then with the cell phone as well, changing stuff, even people that manufacture cameras, like digital cameras, saw as well that shrinkage. So it was like a double down. But of course, Lomography back in the day, we saw it and experienced it. But again, we go to the part that they were able to adapt really quickly to the times. They were really quick to adapt and say like, okay, we're true to ourselves. This is what we believe in. And let's do it this way now to do it. And then, you know, and I think that's what it is. And now with the resurgence of film is because, you know, we overflow everybody to amazing, beautiful pictures, cell phone and mm-hmm. cameras. And now people are going back to it, you know, like, hey, we need to do something else. And, so we saw that down, you see those valleys and then you see those peaks in interest. Yeah. And a company like Lomography that, like you say, almost 30 years ago, they already, mm-hmm. they already know how to bend and, you right. know, go into the crisis and like move really, really quickly to keep themselves relevant.
I also think that we were, of course, digital photography had an impact it's always an up and down, and there are times when it's harder to keep film alive. But I do think that Lomography, as opposed to other film photography companies, was never, had never really the same audience as.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
The digital mainstream photography market. We always were kind of niche-y. Mm-hmm. We always were like addressing or more for creative experimental kind of photographers who were not interested in getting the highest quality new digital camera, you know, like, and we knew that we were niche from the get-go. So we were not relying on all those like huge sales that other companies were losing to digital. For us, really, like Instagram, for example, is more comparable, really, because it's more playing around with filters and all that. So I think maybe when that started, it was more down our alley. But then it also, for us, or at least now looking back, I think that we see a very positive thing in Instagram for us, because there's this new generation that grew up with mm-hmm. Instagram and doesn't know photography well, has an entrance way into the world of photography through Instagram, and then discovers it, sees like all these filters and that cool stuff that you can do with photography, and they try it while maybe they would never have started taking photos a couple of decades ago. And now they try it, they see it, and then at some point, if they really are interested in photos or in a little bit more than Instagram, they are curious about where it all comes from and why this filter is called Lomo, because I think at some point there was an Instagram filter called Lomo. And, But like, you know, like then they are getting, if they're getting more interested in photography, they want to know where it comes from, and they might go back to film more easily now than before. I think.
Do you guys find that the demographic is for you guys on the younger side, or is it kind of across the board?
It's a good mix, I will say.
I think it's a good mix. I always thought that it was more on the younger side, but now being in touch with the community, especially on Lomography.com, where we also have like a platform of people sharing their photos, I think it's a really good mix. And I think I was, when I started, I was a little bit surprised that it's also, there's no limit, like, going up.
Yeah, well, even for when we do the workshops, you can see here, at least in New York, you have people that is like 19 to people that they're like 65.
That's the best.
And when you see that, you know, these generations can really share something in common, it's like super interesting. Mm. It's like really, really interesting.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, just everything you were saying was kind of what happened to me, you know, just seeing those filters and then seeing that you can, you know, seeing a box of like, I think it was like Lomography 100 or 400 at Urban Outfitters and like, oh, those pictures look exactly like those Instagram filters. And then you shoot them and then you're like, oh, wow, that's insane. Like you don't have to over filter things. And, you know, I was really into that back in the day, like just that crazy, because it's an artistic thing. Like when you do a light leak or have some sort of like flair to the photo, it doesn't always have to be, I guess that's what drew me guys to you so much, is the, you know, the shooting from the hip, the just going out and doing it, like that's such a good motto, because you don't have to be a photographer to be a fan of Lomography.
Right.
Even just photography in general. Like, you don't have to be like hardcore with this. You can just take a camera with you when you're hanging out with your friends, or, you know, I think as photographers, we get so like about this, that, you know, that we forget about, you know, the fun part of it.
And that's what it is for me. Like, you know, I do a lot of like landscape and I'm super technical. But if I have an LCA on my hand, it's like I'm free. You know, like I'm like just shooting.
Yeah.
I don't really care. Just like shooting, having fun. And that's what you're saying. It's not only for photographers. Like any person that is creative or need a creative outlet can use Lomography for it.
Yeah.
100%.
And I think that's really important for us too, to communicate that people growing up with digital now or with Instagram are a lot of times really afraid of using film because it's expensive or because they feel like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to achieve this and that result. But that's why I think our company is really encouraging everyone who's just, you know, feels like needing a creative outlet. We're like, here's a camera. You don't need to know how it works. It's pretty much self-explanatory. And then you can just go out and shoot and you'll get results, maybe not the ones that you were hoping for, maybe there'll be some light leaks or mistakes on it, but that's the fun part. And just don't be afraid of using film. It's not,
that's my, one of my favorite things about your guys' cameras, that you really can't, there's no settings usually. Like, it's just put the right film stock in and point shoot. It and press it and that's it. And that always like takes a second. I'm like, oh yeah, duh. I don't have to figure anything out. I could just go outside. It's sunny out. I got the right film in there and I'm going to go.
Right.
Yeah. So I think that's appealing for a lot of people too, I'm sure.
And that's what it is. It's taking all this, let's call it this mystification of the you know, photography or like formal photography for analog. It's just easy. Like you say, just pick up the camera and shoot and you're going to get surprises and you're going to learn. And I think that's what it's all about. It's just that process, creative process to just shoot. Just shoot.
Agreed.
I also love the Lomography community, and I always, anytime I go to the Lomography, sometimes I'll just go to the website just to look at stuff, because all the work that's on there just gets me back inspired.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I was going to say is like, even if you like, you don't know, you want to get into it, just remember Lomography has like a really nice community, and that's what we kind of like drawn for. You can get into the Lomography page, and it's like a rabbit hole.
You start
seeing photos and photos and you see photos of people and you can reach out to those people and they're so nice. You know, like you can say, yeah, I shot this with this and you have that support as a Lomographer. Like, and again, I think it's that base of, you buy a Lomography camera and you're part of the family.
I love that so much. I love it so much.
Don't cry. Don't cry.
Right now.
Man. So cool. Yeah, the community aspect is really nice to work with too, and to see, it's like, I always feel like our platform is like a nerdy Instagram, like Reddit and Instagram melting together.
But it came out way before even like, I'll say, like Flickr. Even before Flickr was the thing up.
And there's still so many people like uploading and exchanging tips and advice, and that's really nice to see. And you can, for inspiration, to look for inspiration, it's awesome. You can look for places or gear, click on this, the camera or the film that you want to look at photos of, or even you can, so amazing. I only found that out after I was working there for 3 weeks, and then I saw that
the color palette,
the color palette in the photos, it's shown in the bottom, and you can click to a specific color and you'll get all the results for this specific color scheme.
So
and
yes. I didn't even know that.
Pull that
for
up.
Inspiration,
pull that up.
It's
wow. What color am I feeling today? I feel purple today. Let me click on.
And that's what I feel like. That's something that people need to be reminded of, that we have that community. We have that, and it's not like something new. It's not the hype. It's been years of countless people shooting and sharing their work, not to get likes, not to get, you know, famous. No, just because I just want to share. I just want to put it out there. I want to see people, if they're shooting with your super sampler and your Lomography 400, I want to see what you shot, and probably I can get into it, you know, I never shot with it. So those are the things that people need to be reminded of, that we have that big community behind to support you if you're getting into it now.
It's the best. Do you guys have any other books out, like Lomography? I know I've seen them around, I feel like.
Just the classics. I think we haven't. Yeah. Every camera, every product is super carefully designed. The packaging. That's one of the things that I'm always impressed. And the quality of, it's not just a box with the photo of the product. You know, it's just it goes just beyond. And you get a book with your camera, with your Diana Mini, your fisheye. And then we have a few of the books. You know, about the story of the. Of Lomography, of the Lomo Life is a really popular one. Two tomes, it's two volumes. The Lomo LCA, one of my favorite books, is a huge green, yellow Bible that has everything about the LCA. That's you get, if you know about books, you're a hardcore Lomographer, right?
Yeah.
I have one of them. I forget which one it is. I found it at, there's the secondhand bookstore that I always go to, and just happened to find one in the thing, and I still have it somewhere.
Yeah, I was
I'd dig it out, but it would probably take me about 5 minutes to go through all this.
More
stuff
importantly, what Lomography cameras do you guys have? I would like to know.
Well, we see the Lomo Instant Wide.
Yeah, that's my baby right there. I got rid of just the Instax one. I used to shoot the 300 Instax all the time, and when I got that was a game changer for me. It you obviously have more control with it. You can do double exposure. I'm just on a big instant kick all the time. I always, when I'm feeling down and out about my photography, I just grab that thing, and especially now that there's black and white film for it, so I'm
you're all set.
Chris, do you have any favorite Lomo cameras that you, I guess you've held up yours, didn't you?
Super sampler, right?
Yeah, I mean, the super sampler. You were talking about the books, and I realized I did keep my
you see?
Little
super That's what I mean.
Sampler book thing here. And then I already showed you my little tribute photo artwork that I got off Etsy. I'll post this to our Instagram listeners so you guys can see what I'm talking about. But that's my favorite.
Man.
Cool.
We can't have you guys on without talking about Edward Conti. We met him at the
Padilla. Oh,
hey,
hi, Ed.
He just kept whipping out all these different Lomography cameras while we were there. And it was just insane. He has every Lomo LCA, the 120, the this, the that. I'm just what? I had no idea that you had all these with you.
I know, he's amazing. So Edward amazing is a good example of our amazing community. He's just this photographer guy in California, from California, who's been an active community member. He does not work for Lomography. I just want to make this clear. I met him briefly once in Vienna, actually, when I started, because he was one of the winners of our 10-in-1 photo awards.
That's what it was. Yeah, he was telling me about this. Yeah.
Right. So he was one of the main winners and got to go to Vienna for a week-long artist residency.
Wow.
Amazing.
What a dream.
I know. And I remember, because I had just started for Lomography, and I kind of looked up to these people, knowing this brand way better than I, and all the cameras and everything. And I was wow. And they've been shooting and doing this community work for so many years already. And he's just this really cool active photographer who loves this and shares our passion. So I was, I don't know how we ended up, but we were like kind of talking a little bit, me and him, about this event in LA. And I was like, oh, I can't go. It's such a shame. Like everybody else from the film world is going to be there.
Sure.
And, we were kind of bummed that we couldn't go. And then he was like, you know what? I'll go. Do you want me to like say anything about Lomo? And I was like, yeah, just like do my marketing. I told him he's officially the representative of Lomography now for this weekend, basically.
Ambassador,
and
yeah.
I told him a little bit like what our plans are so he could, if somebody asks, and I gave him a bunch of stuff to give away, you know, and to, so he did that. He also was the one who gave the Lomogon prototype to Matt Day there
for
the test.
I remember, I think I witnessed that conversation about him having the lens to give to Matt.
And I think he also, he met you guys. That's why we finally, after so many years, we ended up on your podcast.
Yes. Thank you.
Awesome.
So glad to have you guys.
Yeah,
so cool.
That's the best part of this whole thing is just the community aspect, you know, with your website, even in just like photography in general, like film photography. And, you know, you don't realize how tight knit everything is until you go to like a big event like that. You know, like we're mostly working all the time. You know, we do photography on the side and like, you know, da 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 da. And then you go to an event like that and it's just like, holy cow. Like there's just such an overwhelming amount of support and love for the film community.
You kind of recharge your batteries and you come like loving way more photography. And that's what is like super, super inspiring. You know, that we have this big community.
Yeah, we didn't want it to end. And we were having, we were like homesick for it. We were having withdrawals.
Yeah, I'm still mentally there. Yeah. I hear the beach in the background. And
Yeah, I got to make sure to go next year for sure.
Yeah, for sure. We need to go.
Yes.
It's also in New York. We're so blessed with this community that every time we like, we used to have like every other week an event in our store and it was always packed. You know, there are our friends from Brooklyn Film Camera or the Bushwick Community Darkroom is around. And hi, Kyle. Red Hook Labs, who we work with a little bit. There's so many like new and old organizations around.
Yeah, the Penumbra Foundation. Like and that's what is so good, that it's not like we should be careful of each other or like, no, it's like we work better if we're all together, you know, like we work and we do these like collaborations and I think it makes everything way better for the future of the analog photography.
I agree.
Yeah,
so true.
We'll be right back with some questions for Birgit and Frank after this message from our sponsor.
Support for Analog Talk also comes from Polaroid Originals. Go to PolaroidOriginals.com and use the offer code ANALOGTALK10 at checkout to receive 10% off your next purchase.
All right, guys, this is the part of the show where we take a question from one of our listeners. And this week's question comes from our buddy Chris Visser. He asks, what's an idea so out there that even Lomography team was like, nah, that's too crazy?
Well, I will say... not a digital camera for sure.
yeah.
That's definitely too crazy.
Nah, that's too crazy.
But
I wonder. I don't think that there would be that initial reaction. At least I feel like whenever there's an idea comes up or it's on the table, the crazier it sounds. First, the more enthusiastic our team is about it.
I love it.
That's true.
Seriously,
that's true.
Like a lot of times I'm like kind of rolling my eyes and everybody else is like, oh, yes, let's discuss this.
Yeah, with the lenses was like that. It was like, what? Are we doing what? And then you see it and it's like, oh my God, it's amazing.
Yeah. I don't think there is an idea that is too crazy for us, no.
That's the best answer ever, too, just so you know. Like, I'm so glad you're saying that. Oh. Where you're just like, because that's what we need. That's what we need to like innovate and, you know, grow and all that fun stuff is just people not being scared to think outside of the box.
And then we have another question. This one comes from Brandon Aguilera. He says, will Omicrome turquoise ever come back? Exclamation question mark, exclamation question mark.
You have no idea how many of those messages I get on Instagram.
Sure.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day. Yeah, a lot of people want it, of course, and we know that. And we know, like, I mentally make a note of every single one of those just to keep the pressure on that. it's never... So the turquoise is never off the table, for sure. We're currently working on, as we said, new film. Also, like, working on new...
Emulsions,
like really new stuff. We want to try something new, as we always do. And we did some more black and white recently. So we were kind of just busy doing other stuff. But there's always the chance of that coming back when we get a second.
Yay! Ooh. Good news.
Yeah.
All right. So now we have the tough question for you guys. Here it comes. What is your favorite camera and why? If you're like desert island, you know, you'd have to pick one for the rest of your life. What would it be?
Oh my God. One for the rest of my life. I'm a hoarder.
Yeah, me too.
Same. Take a deep breath. It's okay.
Okay. Well, I don't want to... I wish I could pick a different one, but I do have to take the LCA Plus.
Ooh.
Good answer.
I wish I could take another brand because I don't want to sound like I'm just advertising for it. Oh. But if I had to pick one camera that I... Because I do love to carry my camera every day around and everywhere I go. That's just how I shoot.
Right.
And the LCA is, for me, is... the perfect camera to do that, honestly. And day and night and everywhere I go. And I don't want...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.